it's going to be. But the Thursday before, you get a little email from Grace, and it tells you the passage. And I almost laughed out loud when I saw this because I went, well, there's an appropriate passage for someone from the Mission and Outreach Ministry team. Like, this is our orders, you know, this is it. This little passage today, very short. It comes from the last few verses of Matthew's gospel. And it's unbelievable. He spends like 27 chapters telling about the life of Christ, you know, pages of genealogy. And then at the end of the gospel, it's like, bam, 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 crucifixion, resurrection, commission, let's go. And I like to think, gee, I think he got to this point and realized he should be out there doing it. Stop writing. So hear the word of the God. Listen now from Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. May the Lord bless to us his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. That's a very interesting passage, chock full right at the end, these five verses. And what's in them is fascinating and it's revealing. Here you have the 11 disciples and they see the risen Jesus. And what we read is that some worshiped him and some hesitated. They doubted is the word that some translations use. And I get from what goes on in this passage that when it comes to honest hesitating, when it comes to real doubt, Jesus doesn't wag the finger at people. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't criticize. He doesn't cast away. Jesus rather engages that doubt with a promise and with a call to action. You see, for those who worshiped, and for those who hesitated, Jesus called them both into action. That's what I find so revealing and so telling in this passage. Worship, for those who worship, that worship calls us into action, an action that's secured in the promise of Jesus in this passage. But even for those who might hesitate, question, doubt, there's still what Jesus does here. He says, you're going to find resolve. You're going to have those questions resolved in action as you move in action, secured in my promise. So what's the big promise here? Well, Diane read it. Jesus says this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, 3 years before speaking these words, he had some temptation encounters with the evil one. And the evil one tempted Jesus with the promise that if Jesus would kneel down and worship him, the evil one would give him authority over all the kingdoms of the earth, over all the world. And Jesus refused that temptation, and he said this to Satan, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And that service of Jesus to God the Father took him, in the song we sang with the children, took him to the cross to die and then to be raised to life by God the Father on the first Easter. You see, and in that moment, that resurrection moment, that miracle moment, Jesus defeated the tyranny of death and he was given by God the Father at that moment the authority, the risen Jesus, the authority of life. And it's with that authority of life that Jesus is now ruling this world. Last week, before one of the songs that we sang, Matt had a little bit of a teaching moment there that I thought was really wonderful. He gave us four words. And I thought, those echo such deep biblical truth. Remember what it was? Already and not yet. Jesus is already Lord. He's ruling over this world. But the rule of Jesus is not completely realized. It's not yet fully experienced. So he's already ruling, but his rule is not yet fully experienced. He's still at work, Jesus is, taking this world forward from what it was to that day when it will all be under, fully, completely, realized and experienced, his rule, his authority, day by day, moment by moment, more and more every day. That's the promise that we have. That's Jesus' promise as to what's taking place. Now, what's the action? Well, here's the surprise, really. And I would have to say surprise spelled with capital letters, because the action that follows that promise is that Jesus is going to take it forward through us. Turn and look at someone. Yeah, we're the ones. He's taking it forward through each one of us, through Knox Church. We are the ones with our worship and in our questioning, with our honest doubts. We are the ones, all of us worshiping and hesitators, we are the ones that are being commissioned by Jesus to take forward his gracious and good rule over all this world. Now, that said, you go out in public and share something like that, and you might have people laugh at you. Likely they would. There's a lot of naysayers to that kind of idea. I mean, face it. I mean, some people, they look at the church and they think, what a joke. Who needs the church? Just, you know, a bunch of, well, I was going to say old. You want to be called old? No. A bunch of people who are irrelevant, you know, they're just a bunch of hypocrites, and many of them are just they're just like a group of bigots. They live in the past. They don't live in the present day and time. And you know, the truth of it is, there's some truth in that, because the trademark of our life has not always been the life-giving love and rule of Jesus. We've fallen short. We've missed the mark. We really have. There's more to the story. Pray with me, will you, the opening words to the prayer that Jesus gave us. Just pray those opening. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wants something to come. Jesus wants something to be done. Your will, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wants God's kingdom of love to come. He wants God's rule of love to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We're to make real, the church, all of us together, individually, we're to make real in this world the authority that Jesus already has as the death-defeating, life-giving Lord over all. We're to take forward this, it's not the authority of a tyrant or a dictator, but of the servant, of the life-giving King of love. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do it, the passage that Diane read for us, we do it by, Jesus says, making disciples. Now, don't get too distressed, making disciples. What's that mean? Well, a disciple is simply someone who's a learner, someone who has come and put their faith in Jesus and started to follow in the way of Jesus' love. And we're to help people do that. We're to invite people to come alongside of us and do that with us. Now, we can't duck this one, okay? I'm sort of glad, Mike, that the breakfast is going to become the Knox Church breakfast. It's who we are. We can't duck this one either. It's who we are as a church family. It's not something reserved for a certain group, certain ones in our midst. It's our calling. It's a big calling. And we do it by simply inviting others to find in Jesus with us the source of life and love. In John's Gospel, a man named Andrew comes to Jesus, comes to understand that he is the Messiah. wants to follow in his way. And then he thinks, well, I got to go and tell my brother Simon about this. And so he heads off, Simon, or Peter, and he gets him. He says, come and see. That's what this is simply all about, that kind of invitation to come and see what is happening. It's been going on, like Bonnell said, for 2,000 years, people following this Jesus, and he's not, I love that my son has adopted this phrase now, he's not a nutter. You know, he's the real thing. Find life and love and light in Jesus. And we also take it forward, not only by inviting people to come and follow Jesus, but we take it forward by baptizing people. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful time here at Knox. We had two baptisms at 9 and another baptism at 11. And what we are doing, and Leonard's here with us this morning, and what we are doing is we were marking, as it were, we were branding, we were signing him with water, and it was signifying, saying, him standing out and saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. And we did that over a young baby boy as well at the 9 o'clock service, called forward to follow in the way of the life and the love of Jesus. Baptism, you see, is a sign of moving from one kingdom into another kingdom, from darkness and death into light and love. And I want to say this. You know, with what's going on and happening in our community, the growth that's taking place, and the disengagement that people have had with the church over a number of decades now, oh, that God would give us so many more adult baptisms. Yes. Make it your prayer, our prayer. We take it forward by teaching people. A follower of Jesus is someone who has a teachable spirit. They don't think they've arrived when they make that choice to follow Jesus. They understand that what it means to be a disciple is a learner, someone who wants to learn from the Master what it means to live in his love and follow in his way. And in baptism, we commit ourselves to learn through the whole course of our lives what it means to keep on keeping on following Jesus right to the end. And we never get too old, we never get too educated about it, we never learn too much, we never stop being a student of Jesus. I love the title of that series that they just finished up on Friday. This is what learning's all about. In the dust of the teacher, of the rabbi, calling all students. I think John Drake's already talking about maybe something in science and faith, calling learners to grow in the way of Jesus. Well, I want to end with, a question. Test you. Who won this year's Masters golf tournament in Augusta, Georgia? What a name. Who here wants to call any one of their children Bubba? Well, anyway. Oh, you do, back there. Next one's Bubba, Lori, okay? That's Patrick's golf. Oh, I can see it. Bubba Hultz, yes, right. Well, the month before the Masters was in early April, but the month before in March at the PGA Cadillac Championships in Miami, Florida, second round on the Friday, Bubba had he shot a 62, and he took the overall lead. So it's Saturday now, early in March at this PGA Cadillac Championship, and Bubba loves to tweet, okay? And this is what he tweets out just before he's getting ready to tee off on the third round, leading the tournament, and he tweets out this: "The most important thing in my life? ? Answer after I golf 18 holes with Justin Rose." And then he goes out to take his tee shot on the first hole, and after his round of golf, after the third round, he tweets this: "Most important thing in my life, things in my life, number one, God, number two, wife, number three, family, number four, helping others, number five, golf." He wasn't bragging. He was just openly inviting others to see he found life in Jesus, source of life and love in Christ. In an interview following that tournament, which he didn't win, he came second. But he quotes the Christian rapper Lecrae, and he models himself a little bit after him. He says, Lecrae, he doesn't want to be a celebrity. He doesn't want to be a superstar. He just wants to be the middleman for you to see God through him. That's called putting your hand out to someone else and taking it forward. Not being a celebrity or superstar or mega church. Just Knox Church, the Knox Church breakfast, just Knox Church, ordinary, regular folks like you and me, all of us, being the middle people for others to see God through us as we follow in the way of Jesus. Cost, why spend your money on what's not